Hello, and welcome to Bricks and Mortar with me, Sarah Jackman. Today I'm joined by Jen Lehman. Jen is co-founder of Property Elite, a chartered surveyor and an RICS APC assessor. In our last episode a fortnight ago, we discussed the written submission element of the APC final assessment. Today we discuss the second part of the process, the presentation and the interview. Jen, thanks very much indeed for joining us again. The presentation is the culmination of the assessment process and the final step to becoming a chartered surveyor. It takes place following completion of the written submission and approval by the councillor, which we spoke about in some detail last time. Let's have a think then about the actual application for an interview date. How does the candidate go about setting that up and what's the timeline and process?
Thanks, Sarah. So the first port of call for all candidates should be the RICS website, the most up-to-date information on deadlines. In the UK for land and property candidates, it will be the 15th to the 28th of February. And for built environment and other pathways, it will be a month later. When they go to the RICS website, there's a page called the assessment process, which candidates can search for. They just need to make sure that when they do go on it, that they've got the correct geographical region in the top corner, as the deadlines do vary based on where you're located. Submission dates also differ if a candidate's undertaking the preliminary review, which is effectively 1 month later. So that's in March for land and property and April for built environment in the UK. So essentially, I'd just say, double check, check again, put all the dates in your calendar and make sure you submit in time. There's absolutely no leeway on those deadlines. So if you do end up being late, you'll need to wait another 6 months to submit.
Okay, so organisation is key there. And as part of the application process itself, some candidates will need to declare a pathway. What does that mean in practice?
Okay, so the pathways actually changed as of last August when the RICS launched their new APC framework. Just the first thing to say is if candidates were enrolled prior to this date, they can stay on the old pathway or they can choose to move to the new ones. The pathways essentially define a candidate's broad discipline and should be chosen right at the start of the process. Each pathway covers a different range of technical competencies, so you really need to make sure you read through the pathway guide to make sure that the competencies fit your experience. Some pathways do have core technical competencies, so you have no choice over those. Others will have a greater selection of optional competencies, so ones that you can pick and choose to suit your experience. Some examples include building control, building surveying, commercial real estate, corporate real estate, management consultancy, and quantity surveying. So there is a massive range of pathways to fit all different types of surveyors.
What point in the process to qualification does a candidate need to determine their pathway?
As early on as possible, really, so candidates can start to tailor and bank their experience against the right competencies. Yes. There might be some candidates, perhaps, who aren't quite sure where they fit. Perhaps a development surveyor could look at commercial real estate and planning and development. So I'd say right at the outset, just look at those core competencies and be able to match those up to the type of work you do. Your councillor should be the key person who can say, this would be a good fit for you. This is where you're likely to be going. And this is how your experience will fit within your pathway. So just take the right advice at the right time and do so as early as possible.
Interview itself will take place in an assessment centre. Can you just describe a little bit about where they are and what a candidate can expect from them?
Okay, so 4 weeks prior to your proposed assessment, you'll be emailed a date, time and location of your assessment centre. So you actually don't get that much notice of when your assessment will be. In the spring, they're generally between April and June, so there's quite a widespread depending on which centre you choose. Just make sure you really do double check your date, time and location, as if you miss it, you're likely to be asked to wait till the next set of submission dates. The usual assessment centres are based in Belfast, Bolton, Cardiff, Coventry, London and Stirling. I think some do now take place in Birmingham. The assessment room itself, surprisingly, could be a hotel room. It might be a football stadium box, as in Bolton, or it could be a small office. So candidates should be prepared for the unexpected. When a candidate arrives, they need to register at reception 15 minutes before the interview time. Any earlier, and you'll probably be asked to return later on. If you're late, it's unlikely your assessment will go ahead. So my top tip here is to plan your journey carefully, check for delays, or ideally actually just stay overnight and cut the stress that way.
Yeah.
Next step for a candidate will be to take a seat in the waiting room. They'll be given a short briefing by RICS staff and then asked to go to their interview room. They don't really need to take anything with them. They'll have to leave a bag. So all you need to take is your presentation notes, any visual aids and a pen. You'll be given water and generally a notepad and some spare stationery in any case.
Just in terms of who the candidate can expect to appear in front of, I understand that it's either a panel of two or three, which I'm guessing for a lot of people can be quite a daunting prospect. How would you set a candidate's mind at ease in advance of that? What can they do to try and sort of feel relaxed as they approach the panel and just sort of set the right tone and the right sort of feel for the interview?
Okay, so I think the first thing I'd say is actually thinking about how you present yourself professionally on the day. So, you know, think about what you'll look like, think about what you're wearing, and think of it as going to a smart client meeting. So if you present yourself confidently and how you want to be perceived as a chartered surveyor, that's probably number one. When you go to your interview room, you'll be asked to knock and then off you go. Obviously, practice a handshake, something that's firm and friendly. Be able to make a brief introduction and just work through that stage of the initial view that the assessors will have on you. Actually, then within the interview, speak clearly and don't rush. It's absolutely normal to be nervous. The panel will have all gone through the APC process too. And actually, I think just remember that we probably never look quite as nervous as we actually feel. Panel are there to be professional, calm and friendly. They should provide you with an environment to succeed within, and you need to really take advantage of that. Try and be confident and show that you're a safe pair of hands, so you're sufficiently experienced and knowledgeable to be elected as a member of RICS. The best way you can prepare yourself for that is to take advantage of as many mock interviews, Q&A sessions, giving presentations at work, client meetings, any situation where you might feel nervous, and you can practice ways to minimise your own stress and nerves on assessment day. And you could also just have a chat with other candidates or colleagues who've been through the process, just so you've got a better idea and as much information as you can about what you're about to go through.
And what practical advice can you give to candidates on sticking to the correct timings? I mean, we talked about word count last time we spoke and how absolute and precise your submission needs to be. The candidates have 10 minutes to present their case study. How important is it that they stick to that timing, and how do they ensure that they do that?
Okay, so it's vitally important that candidates give their presentation as close to 10 minutes as they can. If you go over by perhaps 15 seconds, you'll just be asked to stop, which can be really, really off-putting. The best way is just to practice, and practice even more. You'll probably speak slightly quicker on the day because of nerves. So probably when you're practicing at home, you could go over by maybe 10 seconds. The candidate should be aware there'll be no presentation facilities, so something like cue cards to jog your memory. I'd say don't take a full script, as you should be so well practiced you won't need one. The other thing that I think candidates can find quite off-putting sometimes is the visual aids they take in. Sometimes if you take a flip chart, you can actually get distracted by making sure everybody can see it and actually flipping it over. Probably the best way is just a flat A4 or A3 handout for each assessor, and you can just point to what you're referring to and making sure that they add value rather than detracting from or actually distracting you from what you're saying. If you're particularly worried about your presentation, I'd say ask your counsellor or go off and have a look if there's any additional training or CPD you could attend on giving presentations. You can then make sure things like your body language reflects what you're saying and that you're giving a really good first impression to your panel.
Is the candidate aware of the time?
So there may be a clock in the interview room, but I wouldn't bank on it, number one, working, or number two, actually be able to see it from your seat. I wouldn't take in anything electronic, so no iPads, no phones. I'd actually literally just make sure you've got an analog watch, take it off, put it in the desk in front of you, and just keep a really close eye on the time. You can always have, maybe when you get to 9 minutes, you know that you should have passed a certain point. There's a certain word you say. So actually in your head, you go, okay, I've gone past that point. I know I've roughly got a minute left. And perhaps then at the end, if you need to cut out a sentence, if you need to shorten it slightly, you can do so whilst remaining quite fluent and relaxed.
Yeah. And that's interesting, actually, that you talk about sort of people sort of overcomplicating things with flip charts and perhaps not getting the dress code right on the day. I mean, how easy is it to trip yourself up at the outset with these little things?
I think it can actually be surprisingly easy to trip yourself up. And probably the best thing you could do, maybe 2 or 3 weeks out from your interview, would be to set up a really formal mock interview at work. And, you know, say to your colleagues, say to your counsellor, whoever's assessing you, please, can you be brutally honest about, number one, how I present, how I come across, and what can I do to improve? Mm. And actually, if you've done that, you've practiced it, you know that the feedback from people who could be your assessors is good, then actually you'll feel a lot more confident, and that will reflect in your body language, in the way that you come across, etc. So I think it is very easy to trip yourself up, and on very trivial, basic things.
Yes.
With a bit of forward planning, you can get right first time.
Just thinking then about body language, what do you suggest to candidates by way of a sort of general presenting style and how to create a good impression?
Okay, so I actually think the first thing would be your interview setting is probably on a relatively small table, not a massive distance across from your assessors. So number one, I'd probably say stay seated. I'd say sit back, shoulders back, good posture. Don't lean over the table. So you've got a bit of space, but you're at the same level as your assessors. Don't cross your arms. Don't be messing with your hair. Don't be messing with an ear. Try and keep maybe hands flat on the desk or holding your notes. If you're prone to shaking because of nerves, put your notes down, put your hands down. Maintain really nice eye contact with all three assessors. So don't just focus on one of them. You know, talk to them, they're there to listen, they're going to be questioning you. I'd then also say just keep nice and open, talk slowly, and just try and make sure that you're not gesturing too much, you're gesturing enough. So everything just supports the fact that you're confident and that you'll make a good, safe pair of hands and chartered surveyor.
Once the presentation of the case study has finished, how does the rest of the interview shape up?
After your presentation, you'll have roughly 10 minutes questioning on that. So the assessors will have read through your case study and they'll have formed some idea of the questions they'll ask. They may also delve into whatever issues raised by your presentation. You'll then have roughly 25 minutes questioning on your technical and perhaps some of your mandatory competencies. It's quite quick fire because there's so much to cover. The last 10 minutes questioning will generally be by your chairperson with a focus on the mandatory competencies, ethics and rules of conduct. At the end, you do have a minute or two where the chair closes the interview and the candidate does always have the opportunity to go back to anything they'd like to. So effectively, you always have the last words. You can always note those down on a bit of paper during the interview. So if you do think of anything that you'd like to go back to or clarify, you do remember to do it.
Let's think then a little bit about the questioning on the case study. You mentioned that candidates can probably think a little bit about anticipating what will come up. But what do they need to try and point out and to really get across when they're responding to those questions?
Probably the first thing, just to almost take a step back, is your presentation shouldn't literally just rerun through what you've written. Ideally, it might focus on one of your key issues in further detail. So actually, you might be raising more questions by what you're talking about. The key thing then on answering any questions is to really beforehand familiarise yourself with the intricate details of what you did, how you did it, be able to justify any advice you gave, the actual advice you gave, what was it? And then how can they improve on the process or the advice you give in future? So as well as that knowing, doing and advising elements, it's also showing that you're able to critically analyze what you did and how you might do it next time slightly differently. It's also really good to have those examples in mind and refer to them in response to any questioning. And obviously, you'll want to be showing your level three competencies when answering your case study questioning. So as much as you can emphasize the advice you gave to a client and why you gave that advice.
So the next 35 minutes then is much broader. The assessor's going to question the candidate on their technical knowledge and their understanding of the mandatory competencies, ethics and rules of conduct. What are the key things for candidates to ensure that they're demonstrating here?
For your technical competencies, your broad revision should focus on obviously level one. So all those key knowledge things that you need to know. And that's, you know, you could be reading through old university notes, more recent things, recent updates, RICS guidance, etc. I'd say make sure you cover the full breadth and depth of the competencies. The next stage, obviously, any examples you've put in, assessors should start with their questioning at level three. So they might say, you've given me an example of a lease renewal you did in London. Tell me about it. And obviously, within that answer, you want to emphasise your level three reasoned advice. And that's the most key thing to remember. When the assessor or the chair does move on to the mandatory competencies, that's probably or it is the only area within the interview that could spell an automatic fail. So a wrong answer on an ethics question could lead to referral. So you really need to understand and be able to apply the professional and ethical responsibilities required of a chartered surveyor. So some tips for people thinking about, well, what do I need to know? Would be look at the ethical standards, look at the rules of conduct for firms and for members, and then look more widely at perhaps the RICS conflict of interest guidance, the money laundering regulations updated in 2017, and also the Bribery Act, for example.
And what source books and RICS guidance should they be paying particular attention to in the run-up to the final interview?
Yeah, so it really does depend on the candidate's pathway and competency choice. I'd say go back and dig out any textbooks you've got from, and perhaps when you're at university, and just use those as some wider reading. Then you'll want to look more closely at current hot topics, recent RICS papers. So, for example, for evaluation candidate, you'll want to be looking at the Global Red Book updated in 2017 and the new 2019 UK supplement. All candidates will want to be aware of RICS Surveying Safely. The second edition becomes effective in 2019. And then for other competencies, it could be things like the Blue Book for residential agency, the Purple Book for commercial agency, and then the Black Book for quantity surveyors, for example.
And in terms of hot topics, that's something else you've mentioned that candidates need to keep on top of. How do they keep up to date with those, and what's the best means of demonstrating those in the discussion?
So I'd say to keep informed of any of those is actually to go onto the RICS website and sign up to all of their mailing lists relevant to your pathway and competencies. They also release, I think, quarterly MODIS and their journals, which are slightly more academic, and those are split into things like land and property, building, surveying, etc. There's also some really good blogs and podcasts online that will just give you a really good general overview of the market and what's happening. EG, for example, would be a good choice. And I also write a weekly blog that looks at some of those hot topics and gives some topical comment on what candidates might find useful for their APC.
And to round off, what top tips do you have for ensuring success on the day?
So my five top tips would be number one, prepare by practicing your presentation and also your response style for questioning through as many mock interviews and Q&A sessions with friends, family and colleagues. If you do have any mocks, just maybe write down the questions, keep a list of those, and you can always use those again outside of the workplace, outside of a formal mock. Secondly, revise any hot topics and make sure you can actually relate those and any new guidance to your experience. So read around your summary of experience and competencies to make sure you've got sufficient breadth and depth of knowledge. Number three would be aware of the market. So follow relevant podcasts, news sites, be able to talk about political and economic events. So highly topical, obviously, at the moment would be Brexit. How's that impacted your role and what advice would you give to clients based upon that? Fourthly would be familiarise yourself with your submission. So any question, be able to answer it with an example of your experience and don't fall foul of the issue of forgetting something that you've written in your submission. I'd say remember that anything in what you've written is fair game for the assessors to quiz you on, and that does include your CPD record. And then lastly, because ethics is the only area where you could face an automatic referral, make sure you know that inside out. And I'd say the last thing you revise before going in the interview room should be, what are the five RICS ethical standards and everything which comes under that umbrella of being able to show that you're an ethical and professional future chartered surveyor?
Jen, there's some brilliant tips there and some fantastic information for anyone going ahead to their interview for final assessment. Hopefully a lot less daunting a prospect now they've listened to this. Thank you very much indeed for your time. You've been listening to Bricks and Mortar with me, Sarah Jackman. For more information on APC and developing a career in real estate, see egi.co.uk and the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com.